Run up on you quick, what up you with us? Don't trip, you gon' get your money.
You are tuned in to the Watch Man, Cedric Muhammad, on the Black Coffee Channel.
This is 50 Cent, do you need us? Don't trip, stunting at my yellow lamb.
Two protests followed and the two countries' media have stoked the tension. But far from trying to quell the bad feeling, Egypt's president has spoken out about the alleged violence, with Cairo recalling its ambassador from Algiers. Ebrahim Yusri is a former Egyptian ambassador to Algeria, and he's also one of some 150 intellectuals from both countries to sign an open letter calling for calm. He says the tensions were stoked by local media.
They were speaking as if we will have a sort of supremacy, political and economic supremacy over the world if we won, and that we forgot all of our problems inside each country which need the solutions, like for example unemployment, we have a lot of problems that are more important than this. So it's very intriguing and it's unacceptable at all. It's against the values, against the history, and against the current trend of Arab cooperation. And I believe that the two leadership in the two countries could not accept that and could not have a bad relation forever.
It's time for another quick break now.
Okay, that's how serious they get over there in Africa over soccer. Now, I had the proof. Now, this song is called Hard. It's Rihanna featuring Jeezy. I'm going to read the story, though. The World Cup is no economic boon for South Africa. Now, that last story was about a beef that started between the country of Egypt and the country of Algeria that Muammar Gaddafi, the leader of Libya, had to mediate. That's how serious it got. This is from Simon Cooper, November 28th to the 29th. The World Cup is no economic boon for South Africa. It remains the most stirring South African sporting moment. The country's Springbok rugby team had just won the World Cup of 1995, uniting South Africans of all colors. Nelson Mandela walked on to the pitch wearing a Springbok jersey, shook hands with South Africa's captain Francois Pienaar and said, "Francois, thank you very much for what you have done for our country." Pienaar famously replied, "No, Mr. President, thank you for what you have done for our country." John Carlin, who recounts the handshake in his book Playing the Enemy, believes this was possibly the happiest moment of Mandela's life. The old man had created a nation. That moment is the focus of Clint Eastwood's movie Invictus. Based on Carlin's book, and due out on December 11th. Rihanna, speak to us. Let me give you some more of this article. The World Cup is no economic boon to South Africa. It is worth recalling that handshake ahead of Friday's draw for the Soccer World Cup in South Africa. It helps to clarify what the story of the coming tournament will and will not be. The Rugby World Cup was about creating a united South Africa, where under apartheid there had been only separate colors. By contrast, the story of next year's event is It's the Economy, Stupid. Oh, speaking of which, Rihanna has a song called Stupid in Love. So while I read about this phrase here, It's the Economy, Stupid, next year's South Africa, let me put a touching song from Rihanna, Stupid in Love. Let me give you one more paragraph. Each big sports tournament tells the world story that transcends sport. Tokyo Olympics of 1964, for example, dramatized Japan's entry into the rich democratic world. The German World Cup of 2006 was about how the world and even Germany learned to love Germany. When bidding began, most foreigners could not imagine a South African World Cup in 2010 as a reenactment of the drama of nation building. And after Mr. Mandela jetted around the world campaigning on that basis, by the time the world or the country was awarded the World Cup in 2004, the story of 1995 had lost relevance in South Africa. A second strand of the economic story is that the World Cup will supposedly enrich the nation's poor. More than a third of South Africans live on less than $2 a day. In theory, money from the World Cup will trickle down to them. Jacob Zuma, the new president whose promise is economic uplift, favors this story. Unfortunately, the economic story is wrong. Barely any academic economist believes that countries get richer from hosting sports tournaments. South Africa has been told this. When its finance minister flew in three eminent foreign sports economists for a workshop, they argued that at best the World Cup would not reduce South Africa's economic growth. The country expects 500 foreign investors or foreign visitors, pardon me. The country expects 500,000 foreign visitors for the tournament, or fewer than it receives in an average month. Much of the money to be made from them will not be made by South Africans. All right. Maurice from Philly, he says, peace said, another great show. Mayweather Pac-Man, the fight is in March. And he says, Birdman's album should be called Birdman and Friends. You know it would have been, I'm not going to read that, if it was just him. So Birdman being helped out. What did JDK say? We don't help the beats. We don't use beats for help. We help the beats. Maurice from Philly saying that Birdman got help for the beats.
Sobering, stimulating, and hot. It's the Cedric Muhammad and Black Coffee Program. The internet, terrestrial, and satellite radio. The platform revolution continues. The Cedric Muhammad and Black Coffee Program.
Ooh. I got 50 Cent right now. We'll talk about working two jobs and still underemployed. This is called Crime Wave off the new 50 Cent album, Before I Self-Destruct.
I'm not telling you to shoot somebody, but if somebody try to shoot you, shoot them, don't waste time, look, just do it, and it's out of order, must be service, see now you're hesitating, boy, you're making me nervous. The feds know I clap B, felonies on my rap sheet. Front on me, try to run from me, hollow seat up your back beat. Just a pop, pop a top, burn, baby, burn. Revolver spin again and again.
cash strapped out. You know what that felt. We do it my way.
There ain't nothing political or conscious about this song, but it sure is hot. You are tuned in to the Cedric Muhammad and Black Coffee program.
My right to speak. Plead the fifth, y'all. Don't tell this shit, y'all. Whoa. Wait. Whoa. Wait. I'm not telling you to shoot somebody, but if somebody try to shoot you, shoot them. Don't waste time. Look, just do it. And it's out of order. Must be service. See, now you're hesitating, boy. You're making me nervous. The feds know I clap beat felonies on my rap sheet. Front on me, try to run from me. Hollow seat up your back beat. Pistol pop, top of top, burn, baby, burn. Revolver spin again and again and never learn. Got a itch, 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 itch. Drink a finger.
This article is called Working Two Jobs and Still Underemployed. Wall Street Journal, December 1st. Ooh, go ahead, Fifth. For Richard Crane, the new normal in the labor market began when he was laid off from a New Jersey battery plant in the summer of 2006. Mr. Crane had been earning more than $100,000 a year operating a heavy machinery at Delco, a former unit of General Motors. He worked there for 23 years since graduating from high school. But when he lost his job, he was thrust into a neighborhood of part-time gigs, working the registers at Taco Bell, organizing orders at McDonald's, whatever he could find. I thought it would be temporary, says Mr. Crane, 49 years old. 3 years later, he is selling outdoor furniture by the day and pumping gas by night while worrying about his skills atrophying and spending scant time with his teenage son. He makes about a third of his former pay. Mr. Crane is part of a growing group of underemployed people in part-time jobs who want full-time work, or people in jobs that don't employ their skills. Since the recession began 2 years ago, the number of people involuntarily working part-time jobs has more than doubled to 9.3 million, according to the Federal Bureau of Labor Statistics, the highest number on record. The proliferation of underemployed could represent a profound reordering of the employment structure. Many people who had comfortable full-time jobs with benefits and advancement opportunities now are cobbling together smaller jobs, often at lower pay, in a shift that economists say could become permanent for many individuals stuck in the cycle. Underemployment, along with unemployment, is widely seen as a force slowing the economic recovery.
Yeah. The only sunny thing for me, I haven't met you up for me. Yeah. No.
There ain't nothing political or conscious about this song, but it sure is hot. You are tuned in to the Cedric Muhammad and Black Coffee program.
More 50 Cent before I self-destruct album. What were the first week sales on that, by the way? Article that I mentioned in a previous blog I wrote, What Facebook Can't Give You. Over 52 years, these men have evolved into movers and shakers together. Listen up, all you entrepreneurs out there, networkers. Before there was Facebook, there was the Wednesday 10. In 1957, as men in their late 20s, they began meeting, initially over breakfast, then over dinners held at the Sherry Netherland Hotel or at the Harvard Club in Midtown Manhattan. Few were born to means. Many were sons of immigrants. Are you all doing this with your friends? Do you all get together regularly and meet to encourage and help one another? If not, why not? Why don't you do that? Again, few were born to means. Many were sons of immigrants. Most went on to become luminaries in their fields. Presidents of television networks, partners at banks, editors of magazines. On occasion, they shared their influence with one another. When member Mort Janklow became or made a career switch from corporate attorney to literary agent, a fellow member, columnist William Sapphire, offered himself as the famous first client. When Robert Menschow a senior director at Goldman Sachs Group, was considering deals involving large consumer companies such as Procter & Gamble, he would pick the brain of fellow club member Ed Meyer, the former chief executive of Gray Advertising. This is networking, y'all.
Better respect, man. Get the green, triple beam, inf beam, murder scheme, fiend, morphine, dream, codeine, moline, gun pop, one shot, body drop, it wasn't me. Tell the cops it wasn't me. You saw me, right? It wasn't me. It's not my MO. See me, I make it straight.
In a day when social network is a buzz term from colleges to boardrooms, the members of Wednesday 10, that's the name of the group, the Wednesday 10, the members of Wednesday 10 show the benefits of old-fashioned networking. We were all young kids starting out, and it is easy when you are so involved in building your career to lose touch with other people who are outside your field, says Mr. Menschel, who has been at Goldman Sachs for 55 years. It helped me to understand why other people do what they do, which is important in life and in business. You don't learn anything from talking to sameness. The Wednesday 10 comprised at various points more than 20 men. The goal was a number small enough to maintain intimacy, yet large enough to ensure that at least 10 meetings members would show up for each of the monthly early Wednesday night meetings. No more than two representatives of any one industry were permitted.
Ooh.
The idea was to combat insularity, to keep the men connected to people and events outside their own professions.
If you ask me, my office is extremely handsome. A little Charlie, Molly, a little bit of Manson. Yeah, me falling off is really far-fetched. I turn a little to a lot, I make it stretch. In come the Franklins, then come the Benjis. Things by the house, dirty and dingy. Yeah, I take Gramps and mix it with lactose. That's what I do, stretch. I make an ounce and weigh like an eight, but before I'm through, product stretch. I got it mastered, man. In the hood, I'm like Plastic Man. Stretch. Fantastic, man. I make the money come faster,
the
man.
The home of the business and building movement. The Cedric Muhammad and Black Coffee Program.
If you had the strength.
You strong enough.
If you
sweet. You probably go against me and win.
If you had the strength.
You probably like stand a chance. I do more than talk that I'm off.
It's a strong enough off the new 50 Cent album. Let me read you this article from the Financial Times. Humor shows people you're not a robotic technocrat. Listen up. The importance of the science of humor. One of the easiest ways to endear yourself to someone is to make them laugh. So it is no surprise that showing a little humor in the workplace can advance your career. But how do you tread the fine line between being funny and being a joke? How can being funny help my career? Knowing when to be funny shows people that you are open, likable, and not some robotic technocrat, says Kerry Cooper, professor of organizational psychology at Lancaster University. If you watch them, many CEOs know just when to use humor. Humor is also an excellent way of defusing awkward situations and influencing people. Once you have disarmed your listeners with humor, they are much more likely to be receptive to new ideas and change. Sound familiar to anyone? Is workplace humor just about cracking jokes? There is much more to it than that. It can be about finding a humorous take on things and dealing positively with anger, frustration, and stress, says Bill Rogers of Humor Us, a workplace consultant. It is about being fluid and flexible. Humor is a kind of oil that lubricates workplace transactions. It's interesting. It does everything from breaking the ice to improving productivity. How far is too far? Okay, listen up. Some of you all don't know when to stop. This is for you. Obviously, racist, sexist, or homophobic is out. One person's idea of a joke can easily be another's idea of a discrimination lawsuit. Mr. Rogers says victimization is a no-go area. Humor has to be shared. You need to find a common denominator, and it should never be focused on one person. The only person you should ever make jokes about is yourself. People with good social skills will understand when humor is appropriate and when it isn't, said Professor Cooper. And if you use too much humor, others may think you have no substance. is it possible to make yourself a funnier person? Humor is learned behavior, Mr. Rogers says. It's something we can all develop. While there are people who bill themselves as humor coaches, much of being witty is about timing, confidence, and the ability to observe and dissect the situation. So you may find improving your general presentation skills makes you funnier. Does it translate across national boundaries? Humor is so subjective that you can find an example to support any point of view on this. British journalist Toby Young has written about how hijinks and practical jokes that had been considered funny in London went down like a lead balloon when he worked in New York. Still, Professor Cooper believes Europe is developing something of a single market in humor. These days, I think the same joke would work in Denmark, Spain, and the UK. What do you all think? Some folks are just not funny at all. But I think the key is timing. Sometimes, even if what you're saying is not that funny, if your timing is on, it's like a punch in boxing. You may not hit somebody hard, but if they're not looking, you can knock them out. That's the big time. The timing. Speed kills. Timing kills in humor. For good. Another track from 50. I got swag.
She can play games or strong, she can not pretend. She like my style.
I got swag now, I got paper. I'm rolling in the dough, I'm caking. I got swag now, I got paper. I'm swimming in the dough, I'm caking. I was a real bum, now I'm really rich, kid. I come through the hood and some really, really sick. It's the rose, the roof gone, your flows, they lukewarm. That's why you're not me. Nah, 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 nah. She like to kill my lifestyle, what she want? Bottle after bottle, 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 I'll be stunting. It's Gucci this, Gucci that, Gucci hat. Big doofy gay, hit you when you goofy at. You know me, I told you, no three, get rich or die. G5, I fly, write my name in the sky. Big island on the map, I've been to it. Shorty wanna try and my friends do it. Wrist wrapped up, shining, flawless diamonds. You can hardly see the face, so I'ma hold them all time. And on that JT dish, me, I'm bringing sexy back. Louis belt wrapped around, right through where the tech, yeah.
I don't really think she want me back then. She want me now. She can play games all she wants, she can not pretend. She like my
mirrors of no reflection. Like, am I here? Paranoid, who's there? I know in my years I've seen my share. Everything I bear, everything I care about has all been bunched up away to the shore. But we got more
in store. This for you, bird lady. Yeah, young 100. Back on the benches, rolling in the Bentley, them suicide doors.
I'm sorry, I had to do it. Lil Wayne, anytime Lil Wayne does rock star material, I had to support it. Priceless. I really think Birdman got the best album out right now. Maurice from Philly says it should be renamed Birdman and Friends because he can't carry a song by himself, but it's fine with me. You can help the beats or you can get the beats for help. Mike Millions, NYC, he says, P said, I got JFK and Lessons in Disasters. Give me a minute so I can knock them out and I'll get back to you on them. Also, he has to marinate on this Vivo deal. Sounds serious. I may extend the JFK Lessons in Disaster discussion into 2010, the rate you all are going. Mike Millions in the building. Yeah, let's chop up this Vivo, Mike. Facebook me. Priceless, Lil Wayne and Birdman.
The most eclectic audience on radio, only on the Cedric Muhammad and Black Coffee program.
I don't think you all understand what is happening. I don't think you all understand what Lil Wayne. I guess the jail thing is going to be an inconvenience. I wish I could talk to him. I could just tell him how to do this. He should go see M.O.P. M.O.P. did the best rock album ever by a rap group. M.O.P. Those of you that know, M.O.P. is the greatest rock group in the history of rap. But Lil Wayne shows moments of brilliance. You all don't understand. This is how you go triple platinum. This is what RZA taught me. We gotta do this one more time. It's still Seducation. I got a couple stories to read. If you are in your cubicle right now, you can wig out, especially if you work for the federal government. You have days that you can take off. Shout out to all my GS 9s, 10s, and 11s. Fully loaded with the peace, 100 mil is the feast. So we ate the same meal till the hunters had a crease. So you know we bought the
Watchman, Cedric Muhammad, on the Black Coffee Channel.
Put the diamonds on my teeth, presidential suite. Rumors about me, rumors about my son dying in the streets.
Ending blackness in the name of blackness. You are listening to the Cedric Muhammad and Black Coffee Show only at blackcoffeechannel.com.
Are you black people out there that are still afraid of guitars? I'm coming for you. Black people, embrace the guitar. It's your friend.
That's true. Struggling pain. Hustle and gain. Twice through the chain. I'm fucking your body.
Uptown with the Louis on the right side. We so high to the sky where the sun shines. There's no price on the tag that we can't buy. Flyer than a pearl, cuter than some jewels.
There ain't nothing political or conscious about this song, but it sure is hot. You are tuned in to the Cedric Muhammad and Black Coffee program.
Jacob Shoe, Frank Mueller Watch.
I'm going to read the email I got from Bevan Alexander, the war historian. He says, Afghanistan is another Vietnam. I'll read to you what he wrote me this morning. I sent him a question last night.
I'm lifeless, I'm wifeless, I'm a nicest, and I'm brightless. I'm lifeless, I'm lifeless, I'm brightless.
Cedric Muhammad transforms into DJ C. Nice. Only on the Cedric Muhammad and Black Coffee program.
Got an article here. The U.S. economy's $1 trillion question. There is a $1 trillion stash of cash idling in the banking system. Wall Street Journal, November 30th, 2009. In normal times, banks hold a bare minimum of funds in reserve to support their liabilities. But these bank reserves now exceed the U.S. Federal Reserve's regulatory floor by $1 trillion. Before the credit crisis intensified in September last year, excess reserves effectively cash banks hold above their regulatory requirements and usually hate holding total just $2 billion. The Fed's extraordinary policies aimed at shoring up the economy and banking system are the reason excess reserves have ballooned. As the central bank prints money to buy, say, mortgage-backed securities, much of that extra cash ends up in the banking system potentially as excess reserves. So why do excess reserves create disquiet? First, inflation hawks view them with distrust in theory. These sleeping funds could be activated to support a huge volume of new loans, which in turn could fuel demand and inflation. We are, as Minister Farrakhan said last year, we're in a situation in America not that dissimilar to Germany in 1920.
All right, that was our own Brian Kenny out there in Las Vegas to reset you now.
Cedric Muhammad.